When people are focused on money, they're not focused on helping. And when they're not focused on helping, they're not caring. Some of the best clients and referrals you will ever get are when you turn away someone else because you helped them go somewhere else. And then they never forget that.
Welcome to the Sales Experience Podcast, the show for salespeople and sales leaders, where we help you create the ideal sales experience to generate raving fan customers. Grab your notepad and get ready for actionable steps you can use to change sales from a dirty word to an act of service for your prospects. Now for your host, Jason Cutter.
Welcome back to another episode of the Sales Experience Podcast. Welcome to part three of my conversation with Matt Ward. If you like what he's talking about, you want to check out his information, you're in a business where you could use more referrals, I definitely suggest what he's doing as a framework that can help you. So make sure to go to mattwardspeaks.com. You can also find his other links on there. You can go to the Cutter Consulting Group website, find the show notes, yada, yada, yada. I say the same thing all the time, but it's so important in case you're just catching this episode as the only one, make sure to check out Matt, check out the CCG website. Here you go, part three.
Interestingly enough, they were in networking groups. They were in one-to-one calls, learning more about them. They were in emails, Facebook messages, things like that. And it took 14 or so touch points. We shouldn't try to shortcut the system. When you do that, you short it out.
Well, and what I have seen is people get lucky sometimes. And the timing is just right, and a referral happens quick. And then that resets the expectation, right? Yeah. Which is, wow, that was easy. Referral should come quicker. How do I replicate that? And there's always times where you just get lucky. There's always deals that just fall in your lap. The people who you said like know and trust you, and they care, and they're ready. And, you know, a referral meaning somebody who's just literally ready to buy versus a lead versus anything else. And sometimes those lucky things, right? It's like when you're gambling for the first time and playing poker and you win and you really shouldn't have. And then you think, wow, I'm amazing. I should do this all the time, right? Or in golf, another analogy I know is it's always that one good shot that you have during any round that makes you feel like, hey, this is fun. I should keep doing this.
Yeah. Right? It's not really that fun, right?
No, it's not. You didn't remember the other, if you're me, 120
I played
shots.
Blackjack. I played in a blackjack tournament on a Carnival cruise many, many moons ago, and I won the entire tournament.
Did you quit your job and go pro? What'd you do?
So I won like $600 plus a little Carnival Cruise Lines trophy that said blackjack Sweet. Tournament winner, right? I go down to the casino the next day, and I'm sitting there playing. I literally was splitting tens. And people at the table are like, what are you doing? I'm like, are you kidding me? I won the tournament yesterday.
I'm a champ. Here's my trophy. You have it like right in front of you.
Well, I put it around a gold chain around my neck.
There you go.
That's exactly what you're talking about is sometimes we fall into dumb luck and we don't know what we don't know. And so then finally, after a bunch of people left that table, there was a guy from Illinois. I'll never forget it. He's from Illinois, young guy. And he said to me, do you know why everybody just left the table? And I said, they don't like the way I'm playing.
Because I'm a champ.
The way you're playing is messing up the hands for everybody else. And I'm said, well, I don't get that. And he said, well, are you open to learning about it? And I said, yeah. And he sat there for like 4 hours and showed me how to play blackjack. And I had no idea. I just was like, oh, it's 21. If I split tens and I get two aces, I double up big time. And I had no concept of the odds or any of the other stuff. The people, I thought I was playing just with the dealer.
Yeah.
And I was very short-sighted. I was very focused on just one thing. And what was that one thing, Jason?
Money. Yourself. And money. Yeah.
I was focused on money. And I see it all the time in this world of business. When people are focused on money, they're not focused on helping. And when they're not focused on helping, they're not caring. Some of the best clients and referrals you will ever get are when you turn away someone else because you helped them go somewhere else. And then they never forget that. Hey, look, you're not a good fit for me here, or I think you'd be better over here, or try this company over here. And then they start immediately referring you because they find that you are ethical.
Yeah.
I moved into this house that I'm living in now, and about 3 weeks after I moved in, I couldn't get in the front door. I was like, what is wrong with my key? And the lock wouldn't work. So I went in through the garage and I started calling locksmiths, and they were like, okay, you have 3 days out, a week out. I called another locksmith and he said, hey, I can get out there tomorrow, but before I do that, why don't you spray some WD-40 inside the lock? I'm like, what? Yeah, give that a shot. I sprayed WD-40 in. No problem. The tumblers are moving now. Now, like every twice a year, I'll put WD-40 in the locks. I had no idea you had to do that. Guess what I did? Went to every social media site in existence, tagged that guy in his business, gave him 5-star reviews, and I never spent a dollar with that guy. But it was so ethical. And I'm going to produce, that's producing referrals. You call me now, I'll go find that locksmith. If you're local and you need a locksmith, I'm telling you to use that guy. And yesterday, microwave busted. 2 days ago, we called the appliance guy. And he's like, look, it's electrical. It's going to be like a $200 to $300 repair. You're probably better off just buying a new one. That thing is like 15 years old or something. Those people are ethical.
One thing I've seen is that salespeople worry about only being able to win if they use manipulation, tricks, tactics, and hard closes. So they end up struggling to close deals, make their quota, or earn the kind of money that they want to make. If this sounds like your current situation, or maybe you want to make more money in sales without feeling like you're selling, then my upcoming book called Selling with Authentic Persuasion will help. In it, I'm going to take you on a journey to transform from order taker to quota breaker. If you're ready to become an authentic persuader, crush your goals, and create success in your sales career, then go to jasoncutter.com. Again, that's jasoncutter.com, and pre-order the book today. And it's interesting because two things. One is, in my book that's coming out, I have a whole chapter on the power of no. And there's a story I tell in there that my parents had the same thing. They moved to kind of a more rural area, had a guy come out looking at the dishwasher because it wasn't working. And the guy's like, I could fix it, but you need this $10 part. And my dad is really handy. He's like, buy that $10 part down at the store, fix it yourself. It'll take 5 minutes. My mom loves that, right? She would have happily paid. If he said it needs this, she would have done it. But the fact that he didn't try to sell her, like, she literally can't stop telling everybody, like, that's the person you need to use. And the other part of this that I've always tried to relay that to salespeople is, if you're in a business and the goal is not to sell 100% of the people you talk to, which means not everyone wins, there's some kind of qualification and there's some kind of, like, it's a good fit or not parameter to whatever you're selling, then you tell people no, and you do it for the right reasons, and you leverage that because they will be shocked. They went into the mechanic expecting to get charged a lot and potentially ripped off for something that's wrong with their car, and the mechanic fixed it and sent them away without charging them. That's who you send referrals to. So for salespeople listening, do that. Tell the wrong people no, and then nurture the relationship. Follow up with those people as well. Like, they will love and appreciate the fact that you're, as I would say, the last honest mechanic in the world, and you did the right thing for them.
And here's the thing too, when you think about what I said before about how clients refer 1 to 3 over lifetime, and partners, which are unpaid clients, right? People who don't pay you are often your best referral sources. Think about the dishwasher guy, yep. Right? So your mom didn't pay him, yet she's one of his best referral sources.
Yeah.
So oftentimes I see this happen where people don't realize that contacts, that's why in my book, I don't even reference customers and clients. I reference the word contacts, because contacts refer far more than clients do.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
No, and I can totally see that. And again, it's just interesting when, like you said a few minutes ago with your whole blackjack strategy and why you were upsetting the whole table, it's when people focus on the money, they focus on the short term. I need to fix this lady's dishwasher because I got my own bills. I need to make a couple $100. I could charge them for this. Like, who cares? Like, what's what I do? And versus kind of longer term thinking and or just doing the right thing and exceeding expectations. Like you said, I mean, everyone expects customer service. They have a certain level. You don't get referrals for meeting expectations, you know, kind of like the book Raving Fans. You get it for, like, crushing expectations, right? People don't say, I posted this the other day, oh, that was a mediocre dinner and a mediocre movie. Let me go tell all my friends, right?
Yeah. I mean, movies are a great example of how referrals work when you think about that, right?
Yeah.
So oftentimes you see the preview, right? So in sales, there's a preview, right? They're trying to understand.
That's marketing right there, right?
That's marketing, and it's the proposal process and that type of thing. Then you get into the movie, you watch the movie, And then when you walk out and stand in the hallway with a clipboard and ask everybody coming out of that movie theater what they thought, you're going to get lots of different answers. But oftentimes, they're very similar. So if the movie was too long, a lot of people are going to tell you it was too long, right? And so that is not exceeding the expectations. You want people to feel like, oh my gosh, that went so quick, but it was a 2.5 or 3 hour movie, which right. we know is very long, but we don't want them to think that way, right? Because the action kept going, or the dialogue kept going, and the plot kept going, right? And so it's interesting, because if we've seen too much in the previews, and the movie itself didn't overdeliver, it gave it all away. And when it comes to business, I think there's a lot of correlations to movies when you think about that. And we have to figure out what works for us. Remember that we don't need every client in the world. The power of no is very powerful. We don't need every client in the world. We need, you know, depending on the type of business we're in, we only need 10 clients, 20 clients, 30 clients.
Right.
Sometimes we need 100 or 200, but we certainly don't need 10,000, 20,000.
You know, 7 not, billion.
Yeah, 7 billion like Amazon or something.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, so talking about referrals, long-term relationship, over-deliver, contacts, not just clients, not just referral partners, just everybody, not asking for referrals, not doing the hard sell on who do you know. Before I leave your living room, tell me the names of 5 people or else I'm going to live here forever. And then the other thing I know that you talk about and you help people on is, that's great, long-term, do the right thing. But what about getting referrals now, short-term?
Yeah, it's tough because of the watering and the seed and stuff like that that you talked about, the farming aspect of it. So there are a couple ways that you can chia pet your sales, so to speak.
Now I know what I'm going to get you for Christmas.
That's it for another episode of the Sales Experience Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. If you find yourself on iTunes, can you leave the show a rating and a review? It helps other salespeople and sales leaders find the show. And please subscribe to the show and share episodes you find valuable with anyone you know in sales. Help me on my mission of changing the way sales is done. And if you're ready to work together, go to jasoncutter.com. Again, that's jasoncutter.com to find out how I can help you or your company create scalable sales success. I will see you on the next Sales Experience Podcast episode. And keep in mind that everything in life is sales, and people will remember the experience you gave them.